This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
This is Jill from Indiana. I was just calling to let you know about a paranormal hunt that we went on last weekend and some unusual stuff that happened. So fresh off my brain, we are investigating a location that I've been to several times. Most of the spirits that are regulars there or that we've bumped into more than once are pretty friendly. So we had some new people in our groups that were trying it out to see if this is something they wanted to do. I had a group, but I ended up passing off my group to another investigator so that I could go up to the attic. I just really wanted to hit that attic before we had to leave. And there was a group up there of about four or five people. So I went up and said, "Hey, I'm here. I'm just going to sit myself over in the corner and not bother you." And they were like, "Okay, no problem." So I noticed this group, and I didn't know several of the people in the group. They must have been the new ones. And I noticed they were two males, two females, and then another female sitting in a chair. And they were using K2 meters, which are supposed to pick up electromagnetic sensitivity, and they had some other things like REM pods and different types of meters. And there was a boy, and I say boy, he was probably about 25, sitting in a chair. And when I first came up, he had been sitting in the chair, and they were all circled up like they were doing an EVP session, trying to talk to whatever's there, all very normal. And the boy was sitting down, but, listening intently. But I noticed the boy because they were all kind of pointing their equipment at him. And it was lighting up, which is okay. So I wandered around a little bit, came back by, and now I notice that the equipment is, they've set pieces on his lap. And the pieces, let's say there are six lights on it to indicate how strong the electromagnetic is. Now it's going flickering from just a little bit and then all the way up to burying the needle, basically. And it's on his lap. So at that point, I thought I better intervene because something that strong is probably electronic. So I walk over there and I was like, "Hey, I'm Jill. Where's your leader?" And they're like, "She's over there sitting in a chair." And I said, "Okay." So I'm asking him, like, "Why are you putting all this stuff on this guy?" And I'll just call him John. And they said, "Well, it only lights up on him. And we think it's a girl spirit because we heard a voice earlier that sounded like a little girl giggling. And then our equipment started lighting up." And I said, "Okay, yes, I've met a little girl up in this attic," which is a different story. And I said, "But why is it on him and only him?" And at that point, I noticed that his body language had changed from when I first saw him maybe 10 minutes ago. He seemed more slumped over and tired and not really participating. He was just kind of a lump of coal there. And I asked him, you know, they were telling me what kind of activity was going on and these things were lighting up. And they were asking it to blink once for yes and twice for no, and it was doing it. And, you know, this is exciting. So they were all very excited, except for John. He wasn't saying a word. So I said to John, I said, "Do you feel sick?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Do you feel off or odd, sick, tired, drained, cold, anything out of the ordinary that you didn't feel before you came to the attic?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm just getting really run down. I think I'm just getting tired." I said, okay, so are you tired because it's late at night? Or do you feel like you're exhausted and all the energy's been sucked out of you? And he said, why do you ask? And then he started sounding kind of nervous. I said, well, there's a difference between the two. And if you're going to do this sort of thing, you have to self-monitor. And you monitor each other. And when one of you looks unusually exhausted or tired or in pain, then these are things that need to be noted. Maybe it's normal, maybe it's not. I said, just be careful what you say. And I kept scaring them, so I walked away. And I walked to the other side of the room and kind of stood in the shadows watching them. And the other side of the room, I mean, this is an attic of a warehouse, so maybe 40 feet away. And I'm watching them so I can see their shadowy outlines. And that's when I noticed that the one sitting down, John, for just a second, it looked like he had a backpack on. So I got a little closer, tried a different angle, and I noticed that if I look directly at him, I don't see anything out of the ordinary. But if I turn my head and use my peripheral, it looked like, and at first I kind of almost laughed, it looked like a baby chimpanzee was clinging to his back. And it was digging its hand into his shoulders. And it was crouched, and the back legs were tiny and hunched up. And it was just sitting there. It wasn't like chewing on him or anything. But it was creepy. And I've seen things like that at other locations. I cannot tell you if it was good or bad or otherwise. It was just, hey, you've got a dark, shadowy monkey on your back. But since they were new, I didn't want to say that. If somebody said that to me, I would take evasive action, but I'm doing this a long time. So I walked back over and intervened again. And when it came down to it, I said, would it be okay if I touch you? And I put my hand on your back. And the boy, John, said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to try an experiment. He said, do you guys keep watching your equipment? I'm going to shut my eyes for a second, and please say out loud if anything changes. So I laid my hand between his shoulder blades and tried to extend my personal shield to encase him, and say a prayer in my head. And when I started saying the prayer in my head and I'm focusing on shielding and protecting, three of the people that were watching all said, wait, my stuff stopped. All the lights stopped. Everything turned off. And I said, okay, good. And I kept the prayer up. And then I finished. And I said, is everything still off? And they said, yes. So I opened my eyes, and I said, how are you feeling? And he said, I'm not as cold, but you know, who knows? Maybe it's just because I have my hands on him. So I backed away from him about 2-3 steps, and all the equipment lighted up again that they've set on his lap. And it was going middle lights, so some sort of activity. We checked for other things. I'm not going to bore you with that. That could have been influencing the equipment. Couldn't find anything else. So I said, do me a favor. Take that meter it's lighting up to 3 out of 5. I said, slide it up his front. Check him all over. And they did. And it didn't go past 3. I said, put it over his shoulder on his back where I was touching him. And when they did that, it buried the needle to red. And now they were getting worried because I was obviously knowing something they weren't knowing, and they were getting upset and worried, saying, what's going on? What is this? And I said, I don't know. And they were like, what do you mean you don't know? You know obviously something is there. I said, yeah, something is there. What it is or what its intention is, I don't know. So then I started trying to, we don't antagonize, But I backed away from them, and I did start antagonizing. I started saying things that I thought would be upsetting to any entity that was a non-human. And usually these things work. It'll draw the attention to me very quickly. I will take a hit from that. I will be sick and tired and have a headache and all of the above. But I figured if I could draw it to me, at least this new kid would be able to go home alone. But it wasn't falling for it. It would not leave him. So I went back to praying and touching him. I tried to explain to him how to do the same thing. And I told him to imagine the force field around him like from the movie Star Wars. Only make it an egg that totally encompasses your whole body, even your feet and your head. And he said, okay, I said, just picture it in your mind and hold on to that picture. And he did, and he shut his eyes, and I backed away from him, and all the meters and all the lights stayed off. And I said, excellent. Now, I'm going to stay behind. You all go downstairs while he holds this. And I told John, don't let go of the egg. And they left, and they were... I went down maybe a minute after them, just trying to make sure whatever it was, if it was angry, it would lash out at me and not them. So anyway, I got a call 2 days later from our director saying, hey, what happened? This group called, and they said that you were really scary, and you freaked them out, and they were not happy about it. Boy, was I mad. And I'm still mad. It's like, okay, hold on a second. You thought you wanted to see what boxing was like, and you put on the boxing gloves, and you climbed into the ring, and when somebody hit you in the face, I pulled you out of that ring, and I took those hits for you. And you're mad at me. Hey, if you don't want to get boxed in the face, don't climb in the ring.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.